We're previewing week 7 of the fantasy basketball season here on the CBS Sports Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers, here with Joe Polito. Joe, what's
up? A little nasally, but feeling good.
Yeah?
Feeling good about my fantasy teams. My fantasy basketball teams are doing well to start the year.
Well, for me, and we'll get to this when we talk about the big news, but I guess we'll just talk about it now. Reggie Jackson expected to make his return to the court on Sunday, and not a moment too soon, because I have a lot of Reggie Jackson. I feel like I have Reggie Jackson, Gordon Hayward, Chandler Parsons, and Derek Favors in, like, every league.
It seems like the Chris Towers guys got off to an injured start.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. So, really looking forward to Reggie Jackson getting back on the floor. He's probably going to play a limited role for the Pistons at the start, I believe.
You gonna start him this week?
You know, I don't know. That's an interesting question. How many games do they play?
They play four times.
They play four times. They Stan play.
Or he says 4 to 5 minutes per quarter.
4 to 5 minutes to start every quarter is basically Reggie Jackson's role. So you're looking at 16 to 20 minutes. Is that right?
I got a feeling it'll go longer than that.
And you know, he's coming back from a knee injury and a wrist injury. I would expect the knee to be the bigger concern as far as him coming back and getting into a big role right away. But with four games, you're looking at, you know, most of the teams in the league play four times or five in the case of the Warriors, as we'll get to a little later. I think I would start him.
Yeah,
I mean,
well.
I've
waited this long to get him out there.
I think what it does mean is you can probably go ahead and drop Ish Smith. If, you know, he might be worth using this week in your deeper leagues, but for the most part, I think with Reggie Jackson back, we're probably going to see his role greatly diminish, and I would guess we'll see more of just him as a straight backup. Maybe they'll use them together, but that's a really iffy combination.
Yeah,
as far as spacing.
Yeah. Both guys need the ball. It's definitely going to be Reggie's show. The Pistons done well without him.
11-10 without Reggie Jackson, and this is a team last year, I believe, used their starting lineup more than any team in the NBA. So, yeah, they could be good. What do you expect from Reggie Jackson?
I think same as last year. He was extremely high usage last year. I don't see what he could, maybe like shooting percentage, things he could improve on. Not necessarily sure that'll happen just because they rely on him so much in the offense. But, you know, just your typical high volume, good scoring. I want to say he could pick the assists up a little too, I think.
Well, yeah, when we first saw him get to Detroit, he was averaging like 9 assists per game that first like 2 month stretch. Last year he was more in the 6 to 7 per game range. It wouldn't shock me if we saw him get to, like, maybe 8, if the shooting around him gets better, if Andre Drummond gets better at finishing. What is funny is I kept saying before the season, you know, basically, like, why draft Dennis Schroeder in the 3rd round when you can get Reggie Jackson in the 5th round? And, you know, Reggie missing a quarter of the season certainly isn't going to help things, but it wouldn't shock me. I would definitely expect Reggie to be better than Schroeder moving forward.
Schroeder's been, you know,
disappointing.
Right. So Reggie Jackson aside, like you were saying, if you want to go for that riskier kind of younger point guard play, Reggie Jackson is the more sure thing of that. So I would say he definitely outperforms him on a, you know, week-to-week basis.
The rest of the big news heading into week 7, we've got Nuggets are taking it easy with Nikola Jokic's injured wrist. They're targeting a December 8th return, so that would put him on track for Thursday. Maybe he gets in a couple games. This is the problem with Denver, though, is that they're so deep at every position that they can really afford to take it easy with everyone. We've seen it with Will Barton. We've seen it with Gary Harris coming back from their injuries. It is disappointing because Nikola Jokic has been starting to play like the guy we were hoping to see recently. A lot more assists. The scoring's never going to be what we kind of hoped for as a breakout, but over the last 8 games before his injury, 10.5 points, 7.9 rebounds, 3.8 assists. He was being very productive, and just hope he gets back. Probably can't start him in week 7, though, right?
Yeah, the whole Denver team is kind of like, wait for something substantial to happen, like a long-term injury or a trade.
Yep. It's like I talked about it with Matt Moore on Tuesday's episode, and it's just, you're just kind of, there's so much talent there, but
Maybe it's a Jameer Nelson game. You have no idea.
Just right? Jameer Nelson's starting for them.
Yeah.
It's 2016, and Jameer Nelson and DJ Augustine are starting in the NBA, and I don't know what to make of it. It kind of bothers me a little bit.
I think they'll move their vets. I think they have to.
I would expect to see, at the very least, Wilson Chandler traded at some point with how well he's playing and how kind of
redundant,
awkward his fit is. Yeah. If they could get anything for Kenneth Faried, I think they would like to do that as well.
I kind of forget that Kenneth Faried is on this team.
I really do.
Right?
He is playing like 29 minutes every night, and I just like...
He does his thing, but it's...
He just gets his 10 points and 9 rebounds and like nothing else.
There was a time when he was like the next big thing. They just have a lot of that in the front court. Yep.
Some more of the big news. Paul George aiming to return Sunday from his ankle injury. Not a moment too soon for a scuffling Pacer team
they may have been exposed during this time.
Yeah, they need Paul George back. I mean, Glenn Robinson played okay. He's been a decent fantasy fill-in. I would say as soon as Paul George comes back, whether it's Sunday or whether it's the next game, he's probably someone you can toss back on the waiver wire. Dion Waiters out until mid-December for the Heat, who just... You see this a lot with some teams where, like, they'll have a couple of injuries, and then they have to rely on less reliable players who aren't quite used to playing as many minutes, and all of a sudden you see these injuries just start snowballing.
Right, and it's like all in the same position area of the court, too. But they did get Andre Ellington back.
Wayne Ellington.
Wayne Ellington, that's the one.
We were watching the Cardinals game, so
they can use Andre Ellington, too. They need
fast
bodies.
They got Wayne Ellington back. Josh McRoberts has been a thing over the last couple of games, so we'll talk about that a little later. George Hill will miss his third straight game on Monday with a toe injury, I believe, for George Hill. The Jazz are another team that just cannot get healthy. Hill's missed some time. Favors has been out for most of the season. They haven't had Alec Burks at all. So George Hill, risky start in week 7. They've got 4 games, so we'll see if he can get back. I don't know if I want to start any of his possible replacements, either Dante Exum or Shelvin Mack. I don't think either of those guys has enough.
Right, and Hill could come back halfway through the week, and then those guys lose their value. So,
Trevor Ariza left Friday's game with back spasms. The Rockets don't play until Monday, so we won't know his status at this point. Sam Decker has looked decent.
Yeah.
I believe he's scored in double figures in 3 of the last 4 games.
I almost put him on the do you pick him up list, but
the Rockets are good about finding guys that you don't expect to contribute. It's a testament to their system. It's a testament to James Harden making everyone around him better. Decker barely played last season as a rookie. He was the 18th pick in the 2015 draft, but he has scored double digits in three straight games, 4 three-pointers in that span, playing 25-plus minutes in each game. So certainly worth a look in deeper formats. And Tyreke Evans is getting closer to a return. He's actually... The knee is healed now. The knee is fine. It's actually that he hurt his calf in warm-ups or in practice a couple days ago.
Freeze his lower body for like a month and...
Yeah,
see how he's doing.
He could it seems like he could return at any point. It's just whenever that calf gets healthy, and that's going to be an interesting situation with New Orleans. I would expect, you expect them to work him in slowly at first, but it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with him, Jrue Holiday, and Tim Frazier. Because Frazier's played well.
He has, but he's pretty much mostly just doing assisting, and that's kind of like where all of his fantasy value is. Tyreke Evans has always been a high assist guy, so unless you think the Pelicans are just going to be this model of efficient offense, I think those assists are going to go to Evans from Frazier.
Yeah, like I expected Frazier to lose a lot of value when Jrue Holiday came back, and they've just been willing to use them together. Jrue Holiday's been starting at shooting guard over the last couple of games. They're playing both of them together. We've seen them use Holiday in the past. We saw them use Holiday, Gordon, Eric Gordon, and Tyreke Evans all at the same time. So they're willing to use Tyreke Evans.
Yeah, I just feel like that's too many passers,
And probably not enough shooting.
Like Jrue can stretch. He can do two guard type things. Yeah. But when you have three guys, all of them want the ball, all of them want a dish, it just doesn't make for a good situation to compliment Anthony Davis.
So Tim Frazier, still hold on to him for sure. Not dropping him yet, but you know, give it a couple games with Evans back, and it wouldn't surprise me if Tim Frazier is back in a much more limited role. And Tyreek Evans is someone that, if he's available, you definitely need to pick up.
Yeah, even if you stash him for a while, he's gonna have a good month somewhere down the line, really help you.
I mean, yeah, we're talking about someone who, you know, for his career has pretty much been 15-5-5 at least every season. You know, the injuries have been an issue over the last couple of years, but he's been really good. Okay, let's move on to the waiver wire and talk about the guys that you should and should not be picking up this week. And most added player in, I believe the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues right now is John Henson, who has played 25-plus minutes in back-to-back games. He's averaging 25.5 over the last four. And you look at what he's doing with those minutes, it's 13.8 points, 7.9 rebounds, 3 blocks per game over the last four. That's really good. There's no doubt that John Henson, when he gets minutes, can be a very productive player.
I'm picking him up.
I am too. The problem is, you know, we talked about the last four games. 5 games ago, he got a did not play coach's decision.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, Jason Kidd, it's impossible to know who's going to play, especially among those three big men, Miles Plumlee, John Henson, and Greg Monroe. It's impossible to know who's going to play on any given night or how many minutes they're going to play. So if you're picking up John Henson, what kind of player are you dropping for him?
I think I dropped Chris Dunn for him in one league.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's kind of like a player that, you know, maybe you were waiting to see if something happened with them, but they weren't exactly helping you in the short term. I think Henson is kind of like Terrence Jones, where he can just do so many different things and doesn't need that many minutes to do them that it's just not worth leaving him out there for somebody else to grab.
He averaged, I believe, 1.9 blocks in 16 minutes per game last year. I think he was averaging 4 blocks per 36. He can be a real difference maker. Would you drop Zach Randolph for him?
Yeah, I think so. Memphis is starting to lean towards more on JaMychal Green, it seems like.
Would you drop Nikola Mirotic for him?
That one's a little tougher.
Okay.
Mirotic seems to have a role. He can supposed to be able to hit threes. No, I might pass on that one.
Would you drop Joakim Noah for him?
Yes. Noah is just in and out of the lineup.
Timofey Mozgov.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, if you could guarantee me that John Henson was going to play, I'm not even asking for 30 minutes. If you could guarantee me that John Henson was definitely going to play 20 minutes every single game, that he's healthy, I would say he's probably a top 20 center for sure, especially in Roto. Probably top 15 in Roto because of the blocks and the field goal percentage that you're going to get from him. The problem is he might get 28 minutes in the next game and 5.
Yeah, hopefully this little spurt here is showing that Kid wants to get him at least, like you said, at least the 20. Because even if he's playing between 20 and 26, like that's a good enough role for him. There's other guys, you know, that need a lot more, that need consistent time. He's just going to be like instant energy, instant offensive rebounds when he gets in. So and they need that kind of thing, I think.
And what's nice about him is you look at the guys in that front court with him. None of them fit well together, you know, between Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jabari Parker. But those guys need the ball. John Henson doesn't. He's a guy that can, you know, come in off the baseline cut when Giannis drives. He's someone who can get offensive rebounds and putbacks. He's someone that protects the rim.
He's like Stretch Armstrong down there.
Whereas Greg Monroe really doesn't fit with Giannis. Like, Greg Monroe needs the ball in his hands. He needs to post up. And it's hard to make that fit. So, I like John Henson. I just hope he can stay in the rotation. Some of the other guys that, Joe, you put this list together, you're thinking about picking up this week, Mo Harkless. We have seen him play really well for stretches in his career, and he's having another one right now. Up to 73% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. I believe he had 19-11 in their most recent game. He's filling up the box score really well.
He's playing a ton. Like, he kind of has been all year, sort of establishing himself as the one other guy who's going to consistently get a ton of minutes, but what he does statistically has always been the question.
Yeah.
I think I would rather have Henson than him just because there's a little more upside with the Henson situation. But Harkless is steadier. If you need like a injury replacement, that kind of thing, he's gonna get the minutes consistently.
It is worth pointing out, Alfred Gamino has been out for I believe 9 games. He is coming back from that. I think it's a calf injury. He's coming back Monday. He's probable for the Trailblazers' next game. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Harkless's role, because I think he's earned a much bigger role, and this is a team that, you know, needs some shooting. Him and Aminu aren't great shooters, but compared to Ed Davis, they're pretty good. So that gives him an opportunity. They can play both those guys together. They were early in the season. They were last season. So that's going to be something that you should keep an eye on. Wayne Ellington up to 7%, 32 minutes per game. He's played four games for the Heat, right?
Right. He's playing a lot because they're so hobbled. He's hitting threes because he has the green light. He's a different kind of shooter that they've needed.
Yes.
So if you need threes deep league, he's definitely worth a look.
He is someone that they don't really have anybody like him.
He's not an instant catch and shoot, run around screen kind of guy. And
also he can hit threes.
Yeah.
So they don't really have anybody like that either. Who's the second best shooter on that team?
Probably Tyler Johnson, but it's pretty sporadic with him.
Yeah. We talked about Sam Decker. Patty Mills up to 33%. Did you want to talk about Sam Decker more?
No, we talked about him.
He's up to 8%.
He's on the Rockets. Yeah. Could be something good.
Yeah, he's athletic. Patty Mills up to 33%, averaging 13 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists over the last 3 games. Tony Parker's out. Always going to give you 3-pointers, for sure. Right.
That's what kind of intrigues me, is he's got that baseline specialist kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if he can just kind of keep leading the offense a little more here and there, I think he's got a lot of upside with the Spurs.
Yeah, he's hard to get too excited about. I don't think he's someone that you add in a head-to-head league, for sure, just because I don't think the volume is quite there. But certainly has.
It just seems like, they have 4 starts in a week. They have no other point guards. If you need to, you shove him out there, and like his good games kind of even him out.
That's true,
Because he'll blow up for 30 points out of nowhere sometimes.
Speaking of blowing up, Sean Kilpatrick had a 38.14 rebound game in 47 minutes in a, I think it was a double overtime.
Yeah, he single-handedly crashed the Clippers hype train.
Yeah. The Nets beat the Clippers 127 to 122 on Tuesday, and he had a huge game. But Sean Kilpatrick's averaging 21.8 points, 5.6 rebounds, 3.8 assists per game over the last 5. He's getting to the free throw line a ton. He's shooting the 3-pointer well. He's just a guy, as our old friend Zach Harper would say, he's just a guy that gets buckets.
Absolutely. And he likes the ball in his hands, and they need a guy like that right now.
Yeah, it is worth noting with him that I believe Jeremy Lin is back. Yeah, that's the problem.
I think he should be universally owned.
Lin?
Yeah. No. Well, both actually, because they're on bad teams and they're both sort of in the same position where everyone's looking to them to make something happen.
That's the same reason I saw Caris LeVert has been.
Is that how you say it?
LeVert?
I would have said LeVert.
Okay. I think I said LeVert on the draft show we did, so I'll go with LeVert. Cleared to play on Monday, not clear that he will play, but he is an intriguing prospect for the Nets. In his time at Michigan, was a kind of
injury riddled.
Sure, had I believe 3 different Jones fracture surgeries, or at least one.
Too many Joneses.
Yeah, really interesting talent. Yeah, he's really kind of like fills up the box score, averaged I think like 16, 5, and 5 in his last season, which was truncated, but still showed the ability to hit 3, be a playmaker from the wing. So
yeah, he can literally do everything, and like you said, he's very athletic, so that's got some potential on a team this barren.
Yep. Also, Will Barton, it's been kind of really up and down, as with everybody on Denver, but he's back playing solid minutes. Jamal Murray's been back down in terms of his play lately, so Will Barton's someone to keep an eye on. And Troy Daniels, playing exceptionally well. I believe he had 19 points in consecutive games and then followed that up with a 31.4 assist effort, I believe, for the Grizzlies. He's been playing a lot of minutes with Chandler Parsons out, a lot of minutes with James Ennis out over the last 4 games, averaging 24.5 minutes, 17.3 points. just worth a look.
Yeah.
Can shoot. You know, that's
the thing is, like, he's got to score a ton of points to achieve,
yeah,
you know, starting value.
Yeah, but with not just Parsons, need, not yeah. with not just Ennis,
they
but
need
actually
somebody to score points.
Vince Carter's dealing with a hip injury now. Oh. Mike Conley's out. I mean, what the hell is going on in Memphis? Why can't anybody stay healthy?
It's like every week it's a new like person like out of the blue, like it's your turn yeah. to lead us in scoring. You win.
All right, let's talk about some players we're going to cut. Kyle Korver, 42%. You could actually throw J.R. Smith in there as kind of a...
Yeah, it's like these, you know, they're names, they're shooters, yeah. but they're not...
They're not shooting.
No.
I mean, they're shooting.
They're not hitting.
J.R. Smith missed 20 shots in a row at one point this week. Kyle Korver, single digits in scoring, 5 of the last 6. He's 42% owned. Look, these guys have the track record that you know... Eventually, they're going to get going. There's going to be some ridiculous stretch where Kyle Korver hits, like... 19 of 28 three-pointers and is huge, but...
Just seems like in today's league, you can always find a guy who's been hot from 3 week to week.
Yeah, I mean, right now, like, I would drop Kyle Korver to pick up Mo Harkless for sure, but even, like, Troy Daniels would drop. And Troy Daniels, I think, only owned in, like, 9% of leagues right now. 12%, so yeah. Definitely Kyle Korver, very fringy right now. Joakim Noah, 75% owned, and... Honestly, that's probably too high. He wasn't good even before his latest injuries that have kept him out of the lineup. What does Joakim Noah do right now?
I mean, in that offense, you would want him to be a high assist center, which he has the capability of doing. Is he even going to be in the lineup? Is like kind of the problem with
him. He's missed 2 consecutive games, both wins over the Timberwolves.
He's going to be day to day for the rest of his career, so.
Good thing there's only 3¾ years left on that deal that the Knicks signed to the 31-year-old. He's down to 4 points per game, still giving you 8.1 rebounds, 3 assists, very little in the defensive categories either. It's extremely hard to be excited about anything with Joakim Noah. I think he's
shooting 28% from the free throw line. Am I reading that correctly?
Yep.
Think so.
Yep, he is 6 of 21. He is 28 of 66 from the free throw line since the start of last season.
I picked him up in a points league just because they had like 4 or 5 starts and he gets assists, which helps, but if he's not going to play, then he's definitely not worth stashing.
Yeah, I mean,
he's going to be back and forth with this. He's going to have a game where he's got 7 assists out of nowhere, but it's fool's gold.
Yeah, he's better than Zaza Pachulia, but you know, you set the bar low enough and it's just it's hard to get excited about him anymore. Chris Dunn, 47%. Tyus Jones is probably a better player than him at this point. Like, Tyus Jones has probably, on a permanent basis, been the best Timberwolves point guard this season.
He's a better point guard, for sure. Dunn, you know, has immense talent, but that team is bursting with talent.
Chris Dunn's, like, I think he's, like, 18 months older than Tyus Jones.
There's some young boys on that Timberwolves
and so
team.
It's just, yeah, like, Chris Dunn... The talent is there, obviously.
Even when the minutes are there,
pick.
You just don't see what.
Yeah, he didn't do anything when Ricky Rubio was hurt, so I think you can let him go as well. Dirk, 94% owned, out indefinitely.
Forever,
quote
mark?
A while. Yeah. You've got Mark Cuban coming out in support of using marijuana to deal with pain
the
for players.
Are all over the place.
Well, I mean, I think he's just saying like if anything that can help Dirk get back, it's. There's no reason for Dirk to be playing. You know,
if he played for another team, maybe you stash him on the bench. Like, he wants to get back and be a part of this, you know, playoff push. But
it wouldn't surprise me if you set the over under at Dirk Nowitzki plus Darren Williams minutes at like Darren Williams plus Dirk Nowitzki post All-Star break minutes. If you set it at 200 combined, I might take the under. Like, there's no reason for those two guys to play much, so
especially if they, you know, well, Darren Williams not so much, but if Dirk views his career as like not over, this year he might want to just fold on this year.
So Dirk, 94% owned. I know it's a big name; it's hard to cut a Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah,
but
I mean, in categories leagues, he hits the free throws, but other than that, like he doesn't hit threes. He's not. There's not a lot there for you.
Let him go. Nick Young out 2 to 4 weeks. He was playing well for the Lakers, a nice 3-point specialist, but like we said with Kyle Korver, those guys are not hard to find. He's out 2 to 4 weeks with a calf injury, so you can let him go. Before we get into the rest of the Week 7 preview, let's talk about a couple of other news items worth getting to. Donatas Motiejunas agrees to a 4-year, $37 million offer sheet with the Brooklyn Nets. The Rockets have until midnight on Monday to match, and as fantasy players,
what do your sources tell you, Chris?
We desperately hope that Brooklyn, that the Rockets do not match.
Right.
He could put up really good numbers in Brooklyn. We've seen they're one of the most three-happy teams in the NBA this season. And you know, they're letting Brook Lopez fire up 4 or 5 times a game.
Sure,
they were
he's jacking him up.
He's good. He's playing like a shooting guard right now. He's like the heaviest shooting guard in the history of the NBA.
I think he loves it, too.
Yeah, man.
He doesn't want to go down there and bang around. He wants to just shoot jumpers.
And so with Motiejunas, you could see him play next to Brook Lopez. You could see him serve as the primary backup center, which is a role that's been filled by Justin Hamilton, I guess. You know, whereas if he goes back to Houston, you're probably looking at
buried.
Yeah, backup to Clint Capella. You know, maybe when Nene's not there,
and they're like rolling. So like he hasn't been with the team. Like he's, you know, he's good, but he's not gonna just jump back into it. Like taking, you know, Montrezl Harrell's looking all right for them. Like Nene's kind of on the way back here. Yep. Like they got a good thing going. I don't think
it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play at all for
not for a while at least.
Hoping that that the Nets end up with him, he can get into shape and provide some decent fantasy value. If we've seen from him in the past, he's someone that's capable of like 15 points, 8 rebounds per game in the right role with you know, some solid 3-point shooting and even a kind of a nifty passer.
Okay.
Lakers expected to listen to offers for Luol Deng per ESPN, as we said with Joakim Noah. It's a good thing there's only 3 years and 3¾ years left on that contract. It makes me sad.
Yeah, I really wish Lou was still on the Heat. He was really thriving in that small ball
That small ball four, he was really good. He just doesn't have the athleticism to keep up with threes anymore.
No.
Paul Millsap is day-to-day coming into week 17 or 7 with a hip injury. Andrew Harrison has been starting with Mike Conley out and averaging like 9 points, 4 assists per game. That's, you know, worth adding in a deeper than 12-team league, but it's hard to get excited about him. He can't shoot at all.
Yeah, like I was ecstatic that I got him in the 30 deep before the Connolly injury, but I haven't even searched his name in the in the other leagues. So
yeah,
like he's gonna get a lot of minutes. He's gonna have the ball in his hands, but he's not great at anything.
It also wouldn't surprise me if Wade Baldwin ended up taking over the starting point guard role. It wouldn't shock me if Tony Douglas, who is expected to sign with the Grizzlies, does.
It's the Grizzlies, man. Hey, you just come out of the woodwork.
It wouldn't surprise me if like someone that's not currently on the roster, Mario Chalmers.
Overseas. Oh, Chalmers. Yeah. Praying for a Chalmers comeback.
So, that's hard to get too excited about Andrew Harrison. And before we wrap it up, let's look at the Week 7 schedule breakdown. The Warriors play 5 times, which...
Don't sit your Warriors.
Yeah, like, you've got 4 Warriors.
Congrats on the win this week.
You've got Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry. You just start them, but I don't think 5 games makes anybody else on this roster startable. I mean, maybe they've got the 4 games and 5 nights stretch. Maybe they sit Draymond and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, and maybe Andre Iguodala has a good game or Sean Livingston, but it's not going to be enough to make them worth starting, I think.
No, and I think this team needs a lot of reps, so I'm not sure they're into that rest sort of mindset yet.
23 teams play 4 games, so it's kind of an easy week. If you got your guys playing 4 games, you're probably going to be starting them. The 5 teams that play 3 times this week: Atlanta, Brooklyn, Oklahoma City, Sacramento, and Toronto. A lot of big names on there. You're not sitting Kyle Lowry. You're not sitting DeMar DeRozan. You're not sitting Boogie. Probably not sitting
Oladipo.
You're starting Oladipo. You're starting Brook Lopez. I guess Sean Kilpatrick's kind of a fringy guy, but you're probably starting him.
He's hot right now.
The one that's going to be really interesting, the Clippers, only play 2 times this week. And that's another team, kind of like the Warriors, I wrote in my Week 7 preview, that the schedule doesn't matter that much for them. Like, if the Clippers were playing 5 times, there'd still be only 4 guys worth starting. I guess since they're only playing 2 times, you're definitely starting Chris Paul. Probably starting Blake Griffin, but like... Blake Griffin versus Jamichael Green is a legitimate question this week because Jamichael Green plays 4 times.
Yeah, I think Griffin does enough of, you know, multiple things to warrant that. But like, DeAndre Jordan, you know,
probably
maybe,
sitting
maybe you can get a high volume center on the cheap off the waiver wire.
And starting John Henson over.
Exactly. Like
probably starting like someone like Alex Len over
DeAndre
Jordan.
Even if they scrape together 20 minutes a game over four starts, they could probably outpace DeAndre.
And J.J. Redick, you're sitting, unfortunately.
Yes, he was been hobbled anyway, or they rested him. I don't know. He's probably back, but
so sit him. That's it. That's it for week seven. Joe?
Go kill it.
Go kill it.
I'm going to destroy week seven, Chris.
Yeah. I hope so, too. I hope my teams can finally start getting healthy.
Now that they're playing.
Yeah. It'll be nice. It's going to be nice to have Reggie Jackson. I'm happy to have Reggie Jackson back in my life.
That's the thing. Is you get these guys back, it's like, I'm just starting him just because I can.
Yeah. Like, I waited this long.
Been on the bench.
A quarter of the season's gone, and I've gotten 0 points from Reggie Jackson. He needs to make up some time.
Get some points from him.
All right. Good luck in week seven. We'll see you next time.
Later.